Well, good morning, good morning. It's been a good day to be in church so far, amen? All right, I don't know if I've done a round in church in a long time. That was fun, Randy, I appreciate that. We're going to be in the book of Proverbs this morning as we continue our series, Proverbs and Pathways. And we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 28, kind of starting there, launching into a number of Proverbs dealing with a particular topic. And the book of Proverbs, as we talked about last week, is written by Solomon, known as the wisest man in the world, having been given the chance to really ask for anything in the world. How would you like it if God said, hey, I'll give you anything in the world? What would you have asked for? Don't answer that. I don't know if I would have asked for wisdom, but that's what Solomon asked for, and because of that, God honored him and gave him lots of other stuff as well. But this is a book that he wrote to those people of that time, but now some years later, thousands of years later to us, as we look at this idea of Proverbs and Pathways, this idea that God has given us a book that will help us to stay on the right path. And we talked last week about the fact that the path that we are on is the destination we will end up. And we can't argue with that, can we? We can hope and pray and try to figure it out. We can even, you know, figure out that we think we're on one path, but the reality is if we're on a certain path, that will be the destination that we end up. And so today, as we look at this idea of being on the right path, one of the ways that we can stay on the right path, that we can try to not to do what happened last week with the young man who was tempted to step onto another path, is that we can have a proper perspective of who God is. And the way that the book of Proverbs states that is it talks about the fact that we should fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, is what it says all the way through the book of Proverbs. Matter of fact, our VBS that's coming up, guess what it's focused on? The fear of the Lord and wisdom. And what a great thing that our Vacation Bible School is going to be instilling wisdom and this idea that God is at the center of what it means to understand how to live this life, to be on the right path. And so, as we continue to say, now next week, you don't want to miss next week. You're like, wait a minute, we hadn't got to this week yet. Why are we talking about next week? But I just want to encourage you to be back. How many of you from time to time have ever gotten angry? Okay, you're not supposed to lie anyway, but don't do it in church, okay? You don't want to miss next week. We're going to talk about taming our temper. What does God's word have to say about that? As a matter of fact, as you walk out today on the information booth, there are invite cards, and I invite you to get maybe two or three of these and pass them out. It's got directions on the back. Bring somebody with you. Bring somebody with you you're angry with, and you guys can work it out together right here in a good way, okay? So we'll have, you know, SmackDown 2015 right here. I'm kidding. Let's don't do that, but we're going to talk about how to tame your temper, so you don't want to miss next week. We do that. But we're going to be in Proverbs, starting in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 14, and get ready. It'll be on the screen, but get ready to move around a little bit in the book of Proverbs. Now, how many of you like optical illusions? Yeah, I kind of like those. I remember as a kid, we'd go to Gatlinburg, and back in the day, there wasn't a whole lot up there, except there was this World of Illusion. And so you would go in there, and it would be like you put your hand in something, it would disappear, or you know, they had this genie in the bottle. You remember the genie in the bottle you could talk to? Yeah. And so, you know, I like that stuff. Now, my wife and I went back not too long ago, and that World of Illusion hadn't changed a whole lot in 30 years. But when it comes to illusions, it's really about a change of perspective, isn't it? That you see something one way, but then later as you step back and maybe see what's happening, you get a whole new perspective, a whole new mindset, a paradigm shift, if you will, about looking at something different. And that's my hope for today, is that as we leave today, that when we think about this idea of fearing God, we'll have a different perspective change. But check out this video and see if you can figure out the perspective. I just left the cat up there because it's kind of cute. But anamorphic, that's kind of a cool thing where what looks like on the surface, what you think you're seeing, and then as you get a different perspective, you see that it's not at all what you thought that it was going to be. And so as we look today at this idea of fearing God, when you say the word fear, when you talk about fearing God, many times we kind of have been pre-programmed to think about what fear is when it comes to this idea. And so as we, for many of us, I can't speak for all of you, but I know for me sometimes when I think about my relationship with God and when I think about being on the right path and I think about doing this life with Him, so many times my view of who God is will affect the way that I live my life daily. If I begin to think and associate the idea of fearing something, that somehow God is some cosmic being up in the sky who's just waiting with a big fly swatter to swat me down, then suddenly my relationship with Him takes on a whole different perspective. But I hope today as we look into the book of Proverbs, this idea of fearing God, because it really is a big idea. And so are we supposed to be scared of God? Are we supposed to be fearful of who He is? And what exactly does that mean? You know, the reality is if I associate it with my parents sometimes, it can be a fearful thing. Some of us had great parents. Some of us had parents not so great. But I don't know about you, there were times where I feared my father. I mean, what were some of the things maybe your parents said? But I know mine said this: if you don't stop, I'm going to put the what? The fear of God in you. And how do you think he was going to do that? With a belt. Yes, kids, they used to spank people. It used to not be illegal. But they, you know, I mean, that whole idea of the fact that sometimes I transfer the view of who God is, it can become distorted. And my prayer is that for me and for you today is we might ask the question, what does it mean to fear the Lord, to fear God? And how might that help us even this week as we go out? And so our big idea is this, is that the fear of the Lord, a proper understanding of it, can drive out all other fears. The fear of the Lord, a proper understanding of it, can drive out all other fears. And so really, when it comes to a proper perspective that a fear of the Lord is a good thing, how do we know that we're not supposed to be afraid of God? How do we know that God doesn't want us to be afraid that he's going to smack us down if we do something wrong or something like that? Well, read with me in Proverbs 28:14, starting. It says, what's the very first word there? Blessed, which is another word for happy. Blessed is the one who always trembles before God. But whoever hardens their heart falls into trouble. In Proverbs 19:23, here's what it says. It says, the fear of the Lord leads to life, turning a person from the snares of death. What do we see in Proverbs 14:27? It says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death. And then let me reread 19:23. The fear of the Lord leads to life. One who resists content, untouchable by trouble. All three of these verses, when it talks about fearing God, this idea of fearing Him, it never says that it is in a negative sense of like God is going to do something bad. It is in the sense of a positive thing that we are going to be blessed and happy because of. And so the question is, what does it look like to fear God? You know, it's interesting in the Bible that over 100 times in the Bible we are told to fear God. But many more of those times, as they said, fear God, more than that, way over 100 times. Some would even say, as they look at different interpretations, as much as 365 times, we are told to not fear. What do we see in Joseph and Mary when God comes down and the angel's there? First one thing he says, you know, they fear when they see God, and he says, fear not. All through the New Testament, we see when God shows up, the first thing we see is fear, and that's a natural reaction when it happens. But, you know, the shepherds, when the angels came down, they said, fear not, for I bring you good news. And then in Isaiah, he's talking about the fact, he's to the Israelite people, fear not God, because he wants the very best. And then I remember Gideon with the angel coming and telling him as he's in the threshing floor afraid. The angel says, fear not. So what is this combination of the fact that in the book of Proverbs and all through, we are to have a fear of the Lord? And so what does it mean to live in the fear of the Lord? What does it mean? Well, it's about having the right perspective. Just as they turned those things on the page, suddenly looking at it in a different way. And so here's what I want to ask you to consider today, to ask me to consider, is that to have the right perspective, we need to begin to not live in fear in the sense that we understand, but to live in awe. You see, fearing God is about having a healthy respect, a humbleness, a feeling of, yes, unworthiness, but at the same time, understanding that who God is and what he's done for us. And so in Proverbs 28:14, here's what we read again. It says, blessed is the one who always trembles before God. Not proud and haughty, but someone who understands he's stepped into the very presence of God. Not in a sense of fearful that something's going to happen, but in the sense of a proper understanding of who God is and who we are in light of who he is. You see, why is it that we would be happy as we step into that? It's because as we are fearful, it begins to do some things for us. You see, there is fear, but it is a fear of wonderment and amazement and awe of who God is. Not a fear that we are going to be destroyed in the light of who he is. And so when we talk about this idea that fear, there's a fear that makes you feel blessed. I don't know about you, but even in our own lives, we can experience, even in this life, things that we are fearful of. But as we go through them on the other end, you feel blessed to have been a part of it. Can you think of something like that? I know for me, when I, you know, because I love nature and I love to look at outer space and I love to go to the ocean and the bigness of who it is that I live out Romans chapter 2, that God has revealed himself in nature, his magnificence, his all-powerful God that he is. And listen, I'll never forget that there was this time that we went to the Grand Canyon, and I've mentioned it before, but it just struck me, just the amazing creative hand of God. And this is a picture of my daughter, and she was a teenager at the time, but we were there right as the sun was setting, and we looked out, And listen, I'll be honest with you, we staged this picture. It would be great if she suddenly started worshiping the Lord right in front of me. That'd been awesome. But I said, listen, we were having a conversation about the awesomeness of God. And I said, wouldn't it be great if we just praised God right now? And she stood in front of me and we snapped this photo as the sun set. But as I looked over the edge, and maybe you've done it in something else, and there's that fear of the massiveness of the Grand Canyon. And there's these places you can walk out over and you look down and you just feel like you're going to fall. But then you realize that as you're standing there, you're seeing something magnificent. And it's that fear of that, and suddenly the joy of being caught up in that very thing that is taking place. For you ladies, maybe many of you can remember back to when you were pregnant. Maybe it was your first child and you're heading toward that due date. There was fear, wasn't there? Anxiety. The wonder of new life being going to, you know, that you're responsible for. And as a dad, I remember thinking, goodness gracious, when that baby gets there, I hope it has a manual with it. I have nothing. I don't know what to do. But when that child comes, isn't the wonderfulness of the experience overcomes the fear? That fear is put aside. And so it's just like this with God. As we begin to have a proper perspective of who he is and respect for who he is, that we begin to have joy in that. Because what does it do? It begins to give us a proper perspective. Listen, there is something beautiful in the way that God has done things. This fear, this awesomeness. Listen, I think about the idea of the road and the path that is on. And you know, we don't want to step off of it. And it reminded me of these guardrails in our life. And you know what? God has given us the book of Proverbs and principles and his word, and he's given us our Sunday school teachers and our pastors and all the people in our life that he has placed in there, the Holy Spirit, to keep us on the right path. And it is a proper perspective of who God is. Understanding that God is in control and who he is, that will keep me from wanting to step over the guardrails. And so, listen, as we look at God and some of the amazing things that he's done, I just want to throw a few things at you here just to give you some awe and wonder. Maybe you've forgotten, or maybe life has gotten busy. Here's some cool things that I found that I think are just pretty amazing. Did you know that a caterpillar has 228 muscles in his head? He's truly a musclehead. I mean, we call people muscleheads. A caterpillar, 228 muscles. Look at that thing. Amazing. God has created that. An elm tree? Now, I have no idea who counted this, and I wouldn't want this job, but approximately 6 million leaves on an elm tree. Crazy. This is the God that we are in awe of, who does this. What do we see? We see that 100 different bananas. I'm not a big banana fan. They could be none as far as I'm concerned, except for banana pudding. That's the only time I like bananas. But did you know that there are 100 different bananas in this world? And then laughter. God created all kinds of laughter. You got the ones who snort. You got the gigglies. You got the heavy laughs, the high laughs, the low. As a matter of fact, as a parent, I can hear my daughter's laugh and know exactly who she is in a crowd of 100 people. You probably can do the same. This is the God we worship. A God that is way above and way higher so many times than we realize. And as we are down our path and we're going, I think sometimes we forget the awesomeness of who God is. And we're fearing God because we think he's going to smack us down. But we should be fearing him in the sense of the awesomeness of who he is and how powerful he is and all that he has done. And if he cares enough to put those muscles inside of a caterpillar, how much more does he care about me and you? It's a perspective change on who God is. You see, when I live in fear or awe, here's what's great. When I truly get a perspective of my Heavenly Father, guess what begins to happen in my life? I begin to not be afraid of other things, of rejection, of failure, or even death anymore. Because I begin to truly have a proper perspective of fear of the Lord leads to wisdom. What is that wisdom? That wisdom is that God is God and we're not. That he's in control, that he is doing things that... So what is the opposite of the fear of the Lord? The opposite, as we see in our verse here, it says the first one leads to trembling, but whoever hardens his heart against God, who doesn't fear God, who doesn't realize the awe of who he is, falls into trouble and they harden their hearts. Here's what hardening of your heart looks like. You lose the joy of life, of celebrating what God has done, of acknowledging the greatness of his creation. Of you begin to have nothing but an inward focus of everything that's going on, and you lose the perspective of who God is, and that fear rolls away, or that awe of who God is, and suddenly I begin to only focus upon myself. And when that begins to happen, guess what begins to creep in? Depression, feeling sorry for myself, fear of all the things that if I focus on God begin to come back in about the fact of what if I'm not successful, what if they don't like me, what if all these things begin to come back in as we begin to harden our heart. Tim Keller, a pastor up in New York and a great theologian, I love this quote. Here's what he said. He says, to fear the Lord is to be overwhelmed with wonder before the greatness of God and his love. It means that because of his bright holiness and magnificent love, you find him fearfully beautiful. Fearing him means bowing before him out of amazement in his glory and beauty. You see, awe or fear of the Lord leads to surrender in my Christian life. It leads to me realizing that I need to bow before God. I need to do that. So here's what I want you to do. We're going to do a little exercise. You ready? I want you to point up and say, God, and say, not. Do it one more time. God, not. We need to do that every day, don't we? Because sometimes as we begin to think that we've got to make it happen, then our heart begins to harden against God. So what do we see? We see that, what does it mean to live in the fear of the Lord? It means that we begin to live in awe, but not only that, we begin to choose a worldview. Because of our view of who God is, it begins to affect how we live our lives every single day. Listen, a worldview, maybe that's a term that you're not used to using, but it's a way that I'm going to live out my life. In other words, as we talked about last week, it's the path I'm going to step onto, or I'm going to step off of another path based on who God is. It's going to lead me in another direction. I'm going to choose my worldview. It means that I put on some glasses now in the view of who God is, the awesomeness of who He is, and suddenly it changes my whole perspective on everything. My family, my job, my church, all the things that are taking place, because now I see a God who is for me, not against me, but a God that I am so in awe of and so amazed at. And so in Proverbs 9, verses 10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. As we begin to embrace and understand who He is, it will lead to understanding about our very lives. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, here's what it says. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You see, as we have a proper perspective, a proper view of the world now through the lens of being a follower of Christ and the awesomeness of who God is, it helps us as we make decisions. It creates a humbleness. You see, fear is not a bad thing. I don't know about you, but fear many times can reveal things in us. It can be very humbling. When we put to that point, we realize, man, I'm in trouble. Some of you here today, maybe you've been in that place where you're just trying to make it happen and you're fearful because you realize, man, I can't figure this out. I can't seem to get over it. I can't seem to make that decision. Whatever it might be, God is bringing you to a place of having fear, because you know what? Fear can be a healthy thing, because it can and will lead to humbleness. But you know what? Fear is also very revealing. You see, fear will reveal what we value most. As I fear something, if I look on the reciprocal side of it, you know, if I fear that I'm not going to be successful, guess what I really fear? Rejection. If I fear that I'm not going to have a good relationship, then I'm really fearful about myself, that maybe I'm not someone who's worthy of a relationship. You see, fear many times we'll do that, but as I begin to choose my worldview, as I begin to say, all right, God, listen, you're in control and I'm not. You're God, I'm not. So listen, I'm going to get on your path because my path has been leading me in the wrong way. You know, so many times I've noticed that I fear people more than I fear God. I fear what other people think. I'll never forget, I worked for Nextel Communications, and it was in a corporate setting, and I was working my way up through the rat race, and you know, I was playing all the games, and nothing wrong with any of corporate world. It's a great thing. I remember I went to a function they had because they were going to award us with some things, and there was one of the vice presidents kind of heading my way, and I remember thinking to myself, what am I going to say? Am I going to be like, you know, just get all my words mixed up? And I remember as I shook his hand, and he pretended like he knew me, and it was just, and I walked away almost like, all right, what, I was thinking, what did I say? Was my hand, did I give him one of those fish handshakes? Like, you know, I mean, was it awkward? And so many times we worry about that. We fear more about what men think than what God thinks. But in light of the fact of who God is, as we choose a worldview that says, God, you're God and I'm not, what that will lead to is that we have to begin to learn to trust God, to put our faith in Him. You see, it's so easy to say I'm a follower of Christ. It's so easy to say I trust God. It's so easy to do those things. But whether you know this or not, as you are on your path, this path that God has for you, God is going to ask you to work out your salvation. He's going to test you along the way. He's going to ask you to put your faith in action. And guess what? As we begin to have a proper perspective of who God is, the awesomeness of who He is, as we begin to change the way our perspective shifts and we get a worldview that says God is God and I am not, then we learn to trust. What do we read in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding in all your ways. He's saying, listen, trust me. I got this. Somebody here today just needs to hear that. God is saying, trust me. I got it. I got this. Lean on me. Don't lean on your own understanding, but lean on me. Because trust is what fear of the Lord looks like externally. We can fear God. We can do the awe of who He is, and we can understand all the things. But when it comes to living this life, guess what? It's when we begin to live out our Christian faith, our belief in God. And when we come up to those moments of decision in life, it's that trusting that is the outward expression of fearing God, having an awe of who He is. You see, the reality is all of us start our relationship with God somewhat conditionally. We start with the ifs. If I live better, God will love me. If I give more, God will be happy with me. If things go well for me, then I'm going to follow God. If this happens, then I will do this. What begins to happen is I begin to have a proper perspective and begin to trust God, then the ifs begin to disappear. The condition of what's going on. It says, if my life gets better and things work out, I will continue to live my life for God. And listen, we've all been there. God, if this is better for me, then I'll do this for you. But it doesn't work that way. It's a perspective change. And it means that actually, if we are putting the ifs on God, guess what we're really doing? We're saying, God, I need something else out of this relationship, and so I'm going to do something for you so that you'll do something for me. It's not trust. Trust not in your own understanding, but trust God. As we are at this Memorial Day, my wife and I rode over to the Georgia National Cemetery yesterday and went to look at a grave of my father-in-law. And as I think about somebody that has gone through this process of discovering who God is and the vastness of and the awesomeness of God and having that perspective change, I think of Denver Tanner, my father-in-law, a soldier, a great man. And one night as we were having dinner, he would never talk about Vietnam, but one night as we were having dinner, he began to open up his heart to me. And listen, I've been praying for Denver for years that he would come to faith in Christ. Denver lived a hard life, running from God for a long time. Good man, good heart. But I'm going to tell you, there was so much stuff buried inside of him, they're just dying to get out. But he didn't trust anybody, and he certainly didn't trust God. He told me a story which broke my heart, that as a young boy, he went to a church, and he was poor, and he didn't have the clothes he needed to go in. And they told him They said, son, as soon as you get a pair of pants, you can come back to church. That scarred him. That's what he viewed as people that went to church, as those that didn't see God as an awesome God, a loving God, but he saw God now as a judgmental God who was just waiting on him to get a pair of pants. As Denver grew to a young boy and got into trouble and ended up in the military like so many people do, go to jail or go in the military. I'm not sure that you want your military that way, but that's the way it worked. But he became a great soldier. He was in the Navy. He was such a good soldier, they used to send him out on point mission. But Denver told me he really wanted to die, and that's why he was such a great soldier. He was not afraid. He said, it did not matter to me if I died or not, because I was sick of everything that was going on. But God had different plans for Denver. He made it through the Vietnam War and horrific things that he shared with me that happened to him that haunted him till the day that he passed away. But as I met Denver, as a young man, and now him in his 50s, and we begin to have this friendship, and I begin to share Christ with him, these issues of trust begin to come out in his view of who God was to him. And so I just begin to connect him with people, other believers, so that they could begin to see Christ in their lives. Matter of fact, this picture right here is, Denver is not a believer at this point, but Denver is on a mission trip to Arizona with me, helping to reach a family, working alongside other folks. What began to happen out of that was a relationship was built. And the amazing thing was, one day in our church, right in front of the baptistry, I began to share Christ with him and was able to confirm in him that he had accepted Christ earlier in his life. For me, I think he got saved there in the moment. For him, he thought it was something, but he nailed it down that day, right there in front of the baptistry. And I'm going to tell you, from that moment, he began to change, and he began to get involved, and he began to trust God. He began to have a perspective change, and that unforgiveness, because he used to tell me, there's no way God could ever forgive me for everything that I've done. He said, you don't know what I've done, the horrific things that I have done as a soldier, as a person. And so he began at the point where he had to be, he'd move his fear to awe, to understand who God is and how much he loved him in spite of everything that he had done. And as he was doing all that and getting more and more involved, the bad news came: cancer. They believe it was probably from Agent Orange. I remember sitting with him, and as his body slowly wasted away, but his spirit was growing. His trust was growing. His faith, his worldview changed. And he said, Ron, I don't know why God has decided to take me now. He said, but I'm okay with it, because I know that God has a plan and that God's in control, and that even through my life and through my death, he's going to use it. And so every Memorial Day, I don't always talk about him, but I do. I always remember him and think about it. As you see his grave here yesterday, and as we looked out and saw the countless number of people who have given the ultimate sacrifice. Listen, the ultimate thing that we can do today as we end our time together, as we want to understand what it means to have the right perspective about the fear of the Lord, is that we have to be astonished by his grace. Astonished by his grace. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 9 says this: who can say, I've kept my heart pure? I am clean, and I'm clean and without sin. The writer here is asking the question that all of us ask: who can say that they could stand before God? Who can say that they would keep their heart clean? None of us. None. You see, we're reminded by the picture of the graves. As I looked out yesterday over the graves and saw all that was taking place, I am reminded of the sinfulness of man. That we live in a world that is imperfect. That because of that imperfection, we go to war. And people die. People have to sacrifice. There are people right now bent on destroying this country. All the things that are out there, but they pale in comparison to the appreciation and the awe of what Jesus has done for us. They pale in comparison to the awesome God who puts all the muscles in a caterpillar and the leaves on an elm tree and all those things. My perspective begins to change because I don't go, oh, woe is me, but I go, oh, praise God. Thank you that you are in control, because when we're in control, this is what happens. People die. As I looked at the back of the grave and thought about this verse here that says, you know, who can say I've kept my heart pure? Or Romans 3:23, for the wages of sin is death. Or all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I looked at the back, and on every single tombstone, there's a number. I was reminded of something. Every single one of us will have something engraved on a tombstone at some point. We all have a number. We have a number of days. What that does for me, I can't speak for you, is it makes me appreciate and be thankful for the time that God has given me. That I have been saved by His grace. What do we read in Proverbs 16:6? It says, through faith and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided. What do we see? We see that steadfast love of Jesus. Totally unconditional. We see His faithfulness. Total holiness and commitment to remain pure. And you ask, how can that be done? Who could do this? That's where the cross comes in. Jesus went to the cross as the only one who could fulfill through love and faithfulness. Our sin is atoned for. It's paid for, past, present, and future. And it is in my fear of the Lord, in my awe of what He did for me, that gives us that change, that shift. And it's to the degree that I'm amazed and that I'm in awe, that I fear the Lord, that I want to turn away from the things that He wants me to turn away from, to stay on that path, to choose the right way, to stay inside the guardrails. So today, as we end our time together, I'm just going to give you an opportunity for you to spend some time, even if it's just at your seat, thinking of and being in awe of what God has done for us. Even on this day of Memorial Day, as we have talked about all that has been done for us as a country, but ultimately us as followers of Christ, to be astonished by His grace. Pray with me. Close your eyes. Let's worship Him now. If you need to spend some time right down front here and want to pray, that's fine. But as the music plays or as we sing, sing with all your heart. My prayer for you today and for me as we head out on this day is that we will have a proper perspective of who God is and a new appreciation of what He's done for us. Let's pray together.